We're so glad you joined us today. There is so much that God wants to do in and through you, and we want to hear about it. Please take a moment to share your story with us at amen@thrivealamance.com. If you would like to contribute financially to this ministry, you can do so at thrivealamance.com/give.
So over the last couple of weeks, we talked about forgiveness, and here was the response that I got back was that honestly there were a lot of people who were living in a spirit of unforgiveness, and they were living with a heart of unforgiveness, not really counting the cost that when Jesus taught us, he said, you know what, the measure that you forgive, it's the same measure that I can forgive you. And that's just one of those things that we kind of missed along the way. And I think sometimes we kind of skip over forgiveness because it's one of those things that makes us uncomfortable. Because we feel justified. We feel justified in not forgiving somebody. And we forget that when we fail to forgive, what we really do is we look at God and say, you know what, God, I don't trust you to exact justice. I have to do it for you. You're not God enough to do that, so I have to be God for you. And a lot of us never really understood that heart that we walked in. And so it's been awesome. If you texted me or emailed me or called me over the last week, I got so many calls. I kind of want to redact the names and just put some of those I won't, but I would love to. Thank you for the response in that. And more exciting, not just for your response, but I'm super excited about how the Lord used that series to change your life. So if you haven't heard it, it's available online. You can go back and listen to it. It was only 2 weeks, but man, they were packed 2 weeks. So as I left the forgiveness series, and the title of that series was the other F word, and I really expect when I posted it, I kind of dried my hands off. I was like, let the religious people rise up because we don't know what the other F word is. So I really thought I would catch some blowback on that, and we didn't, which is kind of makes me happy, kind of makes me sad. I know that sounds bad, but you ever geared up for something, and then when it didn't happen, you're like, wah, 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 right? So we'll just push the bubble somewhere else and hopefully cause people to move out of their comfort zone. So I met with some of our leadership team, and I said, I really want to teach the other F word, and they just looked at me and said, okay, that's a bit much. But today I want to talk about one of those things, and it may be a two-part series, where I'm not sure yet. But I feel like once you look at forgiveness, you kind of have to look at the other half of the other F word, if that makes any sense, which is fear. Because whether we want to admit it or not, and as a type A guy, I never want to admit I'm afraid of anything. But here's the truth, we're all afraid of something. Did you know the crazy thing is if you look up the word fear in the dictionary, that it's not only a verb, it's a noun? This is going to be important in a minute. So if you look at it by definition, now listen to this. It says that as a noun, it's defined this way, an unpleasant emotion caused by the belief that something or someone or something is dangerous and likely to cause pain, unpleasantness, or a threat. But then it's also a verb. And it says this, be afraid of something or someone likely to be dangerous, painful, or threatening. It's the same definition. But here's the problem. Fear is a noun, defines what you believe. Fear is a verb, decides how you're going to act on that fear. A noun defines a person, place, or thing. It's identity. Verb is the action you take based on your belief in that identity. Does this make any sense to you? So if you understand that when I begin to fear something, I begin to take on that identity. And based on that assumption of identity, I will begin to act on it. You ever watched a kid get labeled young and then watch them live up to that label? One of my favorite stories of all time is the story of Miss America, and don't ask me what year because I've used this analogy for years, but it really hit me true. They went to crown one year's Miss America, and during the pageant interview, you know, at the end when they're all doing the little fake cry and blot, right? Because isn't that what they do? I can't believe I won, right? And they were like, you know, whatever. And they interviewed Miss America, and they said this. They said, how does it feel to be Miss America? Now, to me, that's like, your as a woman, that's your opportunity to like own every other woman in the face of the earth, right? Because, you know, I would turn around and be like, got you. Miss Puerto Rico, you got school, right? You're like going down the list of people. And here's what the young lady said. She said, well, what you don't understand is I was Miss America long before I entered this pageant. Because here's what happened. She said, from the time I can remember, my papaw would pull up in his old Ford pickup truck. And he would open the door and he would get down on one knee. And as I came out the door, he'd open his hands and he'd say, here comes my little Miss America. She said, so even if I never won the trophy, it's who I already was. Because the noun of Miss America became the verb of how she saw and acted the rest of her life. So the success or failure inside the competition really didn't matter because it was who she already was. Well, here's the problem, that as we take on an identity of fear, and let's be honest, I looked up how many phobias there were, and they started going through all these phobias and all this stuff, and at the end in the one of the psychology journals, it said, it is believed that there are as many phobias and fears as there are thoughts in humanity. If you can think of it, you can be afraid of it. So as I did my research, I was like, Lord, what part of this do I speak to? I mean, I could talk about fear of spiders, but not everybody's going to be afraid of spiders. I could talk about snakes, and nobody should like snakes. I do want to apologize. We have some people that post a lot of snakes on Instagram. No intention is anyway. Nobody should like snakes. That's just a blanket statement. Nobody should like snakes. I mean, Lucifer, Eden, nobody should like snakes. Had a neighbor come up and say, if you ever find a snake in your yard, call me and I'll come move it for you. Don't kill it. No, we're not that good of friends. That's not, no, let me tell you something. I'm gonna go 5,000 loaves. I'm gonna see how many parts I can multiply him into, and then I'll call you. Yeah. I don't do snakes. I don't do spiders particularly well. Right. Yeah. I don't particularly like. Anyway, that's a whole different story. Have you ever noticed how irrational fear becomes? You ever watch somebody that like flips out? One time we were on our way, we're going down A1A at Daytona Beach, Florida, and I had my girlfriend at the time, who's now my wife, was in the passenger seat, and my step-grandmother was in the back seat, and my mom was right behind me. And I drove this little bitty roller skate of a car. It was called a Mitsubishi Mirage. So imagine a Toyota Corolla, little brother, okay? So it was a small, I mean, it would, you know, every time you open the door, you're, right? So anyway. So we're going down the road, and I was younger, and back then my foot was a little heavier, and we're looking out, watching people chill on the beach, and right, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, from the back seat, I hear my step-grandmother go, "Ah!" Right, this is, anti-lock brakes were a new thing, right? I put it through the floorboard. Can anybody ever done this? Little roller skate, smoking, looked like I was wrecking at Daytona. And I'm wheeling it, man, trying to keep it in my lane. And I did what every guy, because I had no idea. I just heard the yell. I thought I killed somebody. And you'd think if you hit somebody with a roller skate, you'd know it. You know what I'm talking about? And so I'm going, what? Tracy screams. My mom screams. My step-grandmother started it. And I went to Tracy, says, what? She said, I don't know if they were screaming. I turned around to my mom, because, you know, you're going to yell at the people you love first, right? And I looked at my mom and said, what are you yelling at? She goes, I don't know. She yelled. And I said, Mary, what are you yelling at? She said, there was a snake out there. I said, did you think it was getting in the car at 70? I mean, I don't know how many Olympic steaks you've ever seen, but I had the doors locked too. It wasn't getting in. She said, no, you don't understand the level. She said, one time I was at an Easter play and they went to put the robe around Jesus. She said, I thought it was a snake. I said, what story are you listening to? There's not a snake in that story. She said, I wasn't taking any chances. It's an irrational fear. That snake ain't going to get in that car. And if it did, we'd all just get out. At 70. But what happens is fear takes us to irrational places. See, here's what I believe. I believe that fear is a belief system. It is a way of believing. It's based on the belief system that God will not. Well, I'm afraid of heights because I'm afraid I fall. Well, that means that you're afraid that God won't catch you. Now, again, I'm not advocating if you've got a fear of heights, climbing a ladder. But if you have to climb a ladder, the Lord will protect you. I've got to fear the interstate. Well, you know what? Take the back roads as much as you can. But if you have to go on them, I know that the Lord will take care of me. You ever had an irrational fear about your kids? Everywhere they go, I'm going to call them. I do this some. Like, I have to work through this, right? Because y'all have multiple kids. You've got spares. No, you built in like a level of protection, right? I had one. I've got like, right? I just want to wrap it in bubble wrap. I mean, he's bigger than I am, and he's 21, and he's right, and I still want to follow him around. But are you okay? Do you need anything? Can I hold you? Right? No, Dad. You know what I mean? Like, Gigantor looks down at me. He's like, I'm okay. But here's the thing. As a parent, sometimes what the enemy wants to do is get us an irrational belief system that will begin to affect our actions. 2 Timothy 1:7 says this, "For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, that is, of cowardice, of craven, and of cringing, and of fawning fear. But he has given us a spirit of power and of love, and of calm, and of well-balanced mind, and of discipline and self-control." Now, when I feel fear well up in me, I just can't control it. That's not what Timothy says. It's not what God said. God said, I gave you the spirit of self-control. I gave you the ability to control yourself. Well, what are you made up of? Your thoughts, your emotions, and your actions, right? I can control all three of those things. I use this during unforgiveness, but if you ever met somebody who goes, well, when I get this way, I just can't help it. But you do at work all the time. You ever wanted to lose your mind? Up in here, get whoop, whoop, right? But you don't at work generally. And sometimes when you do, the great opportunities, you're going to have an opportunity to go find new employment. Because if you do that with regularity, the consequence of giving in to that emotion is going to be unemployment. Well, here's the thing. The byproduct of giving in to your fear is going to be to take on the identity. Watch this. The first question is this, is what are you afraid of? John 4:18 says this, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love." Fear is sent here to torment you. You ever watch people that they can't do anything for fear of failure? For fear of letting somebody down? For fear of what everybody else will think? For fear of, I mean, let the fear, you see how fear just begins to breed fear? And breed, well, what if I go do this and this happens? And what if I, and what happens is a lot of times you can get a direct word from God, but you can cloud it with all these other voices of fear that you create and allow to be created in your own mind. Multitudes of people will never fulfill the call of God on their life simply because every time they go forward, Satan uses fear to stop them. We're getting ready to do some cool stuff in this church, and I'm kind of glad I was doing the fear series because I'm kind of a series ahead of what I'm teaching. And so we get ready to do some stuff, and I start playing the what if game. Like, I had a whiteboard full of what if. No, like for real, like this is like a small whiteboard. I have a big one in my office. Like, if this whiteboard fell in love with another whiteboard, they had a baby whiteboard that was like on steroids. That's the whiteboard in my office. And I literally went on it and I wrote, what could happen? Right? Because that's how it sounds if you, anyway. And I wrote a couple of good things that would happen if I made this decision. And then I started writing all the bad stuff. I was making stuff up because what happened is once I gave in to fear, it became my identity, and then all the what ifs began to play. And then here's what I decided was, you know what? If I fall trying to do what the Lord wants me to, he'll catch me. And I took a big eraser and I just erased an X through it. And then that didn't seem good enough, so I went like this until I could see nothing left. Because here's the thing, perfect love casts out all fear. Lord, if I feel like I'm trying to get rid of this fear, I need to unpack it, then you know what? I don't even need to entertain the thoughts of it. Let's just go with the what could go good comment.
That's like, I mean, you can get rid of the whole line down the middle. Let's just go, what all could go good? And what happened was I got in there and I started really dwelling on what the Lord could do through this process. And the next thing you know, the three things that I wrote up top that didn't really seem all that big begin to multiply. And they begin to multiply because what I did was I took on the identity and the promises of God. Watch this. I think that you have calls of God on your life and things that the Lord wants to use you for, but fear keeps talking you out of them. You ever done this? I'm going to invite them to go to church with me. Like, we're not talking about water into wine. We're not talking about walking on the water. We're just talking about inviting somebody to a location where people are going to be nice to them. They're going to give them free swag. You're going to get a free t-shirt. If you just show up, here's a shirt. Show up, here's a pack of donuts. I mean, like, here's a cup of coffee. I mean, like, we don't like trick like every 10th customer. Hey, look, give them the exploding one. That may happen at a leaders meeting, but it's never going to happen on a service day, right? I mean, you got to be upper echelon to get, right? So here's what, but you go, hey, I'm going to go invite him. And then the minute you do, what happens? The what if game starts to play. What if they say no? What if, 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 what if? The next thing you know, your palms are sweating and your throat's a little dry. And the next thing you know, the opportunity that was an opportunity doesn't look like an opportunity anymore. Because fear just manipulated you out of your calling. Satan uses fear to stop people from enjoying everyday life. How much time have you spent just in your life worrying about the future things that never came to pass? If God said the earth is yours and the fullness thereof, right? That's what the Lord told us. How much of fear, of stuff, of the what if game is spent devouring the one commodity that you can ever get back, which is time? You can make money. You know, we spend tons of time worrying about money, but money is a renewable commodity. You don't believe me? Go down to the printing press. The U.S. government's printing it like this. They are. Do you know that economies rise and fall every day? Your dollar, if you could watch it, will expand in your wallet and contract. Some moments it's worth a lot more. Sometimes it's worth a lot less. And it's yo-yoing. And if you get focused on that, what about your health? You begin to obsess about your health. Now, here's the thing. Being respectful of these things and fearful are two different things. Going and just spending all your money is careless. Minding it, but not letting it mind you and put you into fear is different. Remember how much time you spent worrying about a spouse? How to get one. Then you spend the rest of your life worrying about how to deal with one. And then they're gone, and the stuff that used to annoy you, that used to be in fear of, now you miss. What if, I'm getting ahead of myself. The reality of it is that fear brings torment to your life. If you really take a step back, and I don't care who you are, what your personality is, there is stuff that whether you admit it or not, that you're afraid of every day. And that is driving and controlling your life. Here's what I want you to do. And I don't think I've ever done this in a service anywhere before, but I want you just 30 seconds. Not really, it's probably going to be more like 8 because 30 seconds up here with me not talking is going to be a long time. I want you to just for a second, if I said, look, I want you to give me 1 to 3 things that you fear. Don't talk them out loud because that wouldn't be good for anybody, but I'll take their fear. I want you to think about the 3 things that you fear the most. What are the things that really get in your head and in your heart that begin to shape who you are and where you're going? For some people, it could be, you know what, I'm afraid of. I'm afraid of not having enough money. I'm afraid of being alone. I'm afraid of being left. I'm afraid that this is all there is. I'm afraid that my life may never have any purpose or value. I fear the fact that I don't know what I'm doing next. I fear the fact that I feel like I've done everything there is to be done, and now that I'm older, I have no purpose or point. So here's the question, is if you've come up with your 3, how do you deal with them? Because really, really what I should have done was like made this a longer series. Like I could have split some stuff up. But I got to thinking, and I was like, you know what, if I came in today and I was really battling fear, fear's not like forgiveness where you got to do a ton of setup. It's just kind of there and you know it's there. Or it's there and you act like it's not there. You ever had your kids try to hide something that was in plain sight? How'd the scratch get on the car? What scratch? I mean, I'm looking all down this driver's side, and there ain't nothing here. No, the one on the passenger side, back here at the quarter panel. Why am I up here at the front bumper, Dad? I don't, looks good to me. No, the big concave part right here in the quarter panel. Oh, that. Is that noticeable? You talking about this beauty mark? Trucks are supposed to have dents, Dad. I was just helping you out. Oh, how? I don't know. I just came out of the parking lot and backed into a light pole, and there it was. I don't have any idea how it got there. Maybe the Lord put it there. Maybe it was your thorn in the... Okay, you get what I'm saying. See, sometimes we look at fear and go, I don't have one, because we're only willing to walk this far around the car of our life. If you really want to know where you're at, take an inventory. Really look and go, man, what's going on in my heart? And then the second question, well, how do I deal with it? Well, here's what I believe. I believe that worship is a weapon. I believe that either you will worship fear. I believe that we're always worshiping something. Pastor Tracy came up not long ago, and she was talking about offering. And she said, you know what? Everywhere we go takes up an offering. There's something you go hoping to receive, and they take up an offer. Like I go to Zach's, and I'm like, I want two combo dogs, right? I keep talking about Zach's to people, but I want two combo dogs. But before they will give them to me, I don't even know if they're any good yet. Walk in there and get my to-go dogs, right? And they put them in a brown bag, and they wad them up, and they hand them to you. I don't know if those are any good, but I got to pay for them. I got to pay to find out if they're any good. Go to a concert, man. They're taking up an offering. They make you offer before they even see the show. Can you imagine going into a country music concert or whatever kind of concert you like and being like, they really weren't all that good. I think I'll take some of that back. They charge you to park, to use the ticket you paid for. Tracy at the end of that said, you know what? It said, Chick-fil-A, it's not their pleasure. They want your money. It's not their pleasure. They want a job and want your... They get paid for it to be their pleasure. Because I guarantee if you walk up to that same teenage kid in the parking lot after their uniform's off and be like, hey, will you go in there and get me some napkins? They'll be like, no. Get your napkins yourself. It is not it was my pleasure when you were paying me. See, we work off this belief system of this, that when we give, the Lord will give back. Does this make sense? That it really is God's will to bless us. But you only can bless an obedient child. We work off that general belief system, right? What fear does is it asks you to operate off of a belief system that God won't. Man, I've got a fear of being sick. It's because you have a belief system that God won't heal you, that God won't take care of you. Man, I don't trust anybody. I don't trust God. I don't trust people. It's because you have a fundamental belief that God and people will let you down. Now, people will let you down. But if you've got a trust in the Lord, then you believe that God will send the right people in the right time into your life. They're not going to be perfect. They will let you down a little bit. But overall, they're going to be there to bless you. And is the bump worth the ride? Last week, Matt came in, and he'd been tubing. And he wiped out. And he said, man, look at these bruises. He starts showing me all these bruises. And I'm like, man, that looks like it hurt. He said, yeah, so would you do it again? He said, yeah. Do it in a minute. We were doing like 50, and I got thrown off, and it was like hitting concrete. I'd do it again. Right? See, you can't mistake pain for process. If you're going to have people in your life, you have to know that they're going to be bruising. But the ride is worth the pain. When you get married, pain is following. Now, can I get an amen from every married person in this? Now, listen, if you're getting married looking for Hallmark, stay away from it. Stay away, because that's not the way it's going to go. Because you've got two people with two ideologies trying to merge them into one. If you think that you can merge your ideology in with God's without some bruising, does this make sense? If you think you can raise kids without pain, you're mistaken. So if you're looking to get out of this life unscathed, stop. But you can't let the fear of the bruise stop you from getting on the boat.
You ever got ready to eat something you knew it was going to hurt you before you ate it? I'm talking to my 40-year-old and above people. You get ready to eat something, you're like, this is going to hurt. You going to do it? Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to do it. I ain't afraid of nothing. Jesus said I was more than an overcomer. Bring that coffee and cake on at 11, and then I'm going to sleep at 11:30. Bring it on, Satan. Unless we have a strong faith in God, anytime a storm comes into our life, the first thing that happens is we lose our peace and begin to feel fear. Our enemy, Satan, interjects the what-if thoughts into our head, and we begin to think that the worst outcome is automatically going to happen. As soon as it happens, we should realize what's going on, that the enemy's trying to keep us from going forward in God's will and experiencing his good plans for our life. At that very moment, you're at a crossroads. I feel fear trying to creep in. Do most of us know when it's coming? I generally can identify it. I had somebody go, they were like, I'm going to be right on one of them. Yes, no, mate. You tell us. Well, here's the thing. Sometimes you don't immediately know. But you can feel it the further you start walking in it. And then all of a sudden, have you ever noticed that it feels dark inside as you begin to walk in fear? Whenever the engine light comes on to tell you that something's wrong, the more you're attuned to it you become, the quicker you'll pick it up. Does this make sense? It's like this. Remember the first time you touched the stove as a kid? You may not remember the moment, but you remember it. After that, you get to fooling around in the kitchen, making a little dinner or something, and then, doggone it, I did it again. And after a while, you just become acutely aware of being close to the heat. As you begin to walk out of fear, you begin to pick up on the heat long before you get sucked into it, before you get burned. So the question is, what do I do when I experience it? Well, here's the thing. Fear is a belief system. It's a way of thinking. And it's exactly contrary to faith. Now, we've heard that all of our life. Faith and fear can't dwell together and all that. But that doesn't really answer the how. So watch this. Brandon, come up here. You gigantor. Brandon is fear. You know why? Because fear's big. My fear is big. What fear wants is your time, it wants your attention, and it wants your worship. Worship is when you pay more attention to one thing than you do another. But you know what? Faith also wants your attention. Well, what does faith look like? It looks like the promises of God. What are the promises of God? Jeremiah 29:11, for I've come to give you a hope and a future. God said this in 1 John 4:18. I know I've read this before. It says, therefore, there is no fear in love. Fear wants you to think about all the what ifs, but love says, come here, I'm going to take care of you. It's a belief that God is standing behind you on the opposite side of fear. Matt, come up here for just a second. That I'm not saying Matt is God.
No.
By any stretch of the imagination.
No matter what Matt thinks.
That's right. Now watch this. God's standing there going, come here and let me take care of you. We're not being weird here, I promise. But I know this, Matt has been a friend of mine for a long time. And if somebody was coming to attack me, I promise you this, if I didn't think I was big enough to take them, I could call Matt and go, Matt, will you help me?
Any time of day.
I believe that. I believe that Matt not only would pray for him, but he'd physically fight for me. Now, hold on. Now, he really didn't know this was coming, but hold on. Isn't that what God says? God said, if you can't do it on your own, baby, if you'll just trust me, I win. Oh, I got this. Oh, I got this. Do you hear the confidence he spoke in? That's because he believes it. The difference between God and Matt is there's not a case where God can't win. You can't outnumber God. You can't outbig God. You can't outgun God. God is God. You can't run from him or you'll run into him. You can't run away from him. Oh, you can try. And by the time you think you cleared him, you'll find him. It's the truth. So what do we have to do? We are caught right in the middle. And when the word says we have self-control, we have the control to either turn towards fear or turn towards faith. But I can't look at both at the same time. Can you imagine what I would look like if I tried to take one eye and go right and one eye and go left? You look crazy. Christians that try to do both walk around looking crazy. You ever seen people try to keep their eye on both sides? Well, I'm just talking realistic. No, you can either talk faith or you can talk fear. Realistic ain't a choice. It's not realistic to walk on water. It's not realistic for the walls of Jericho to fall. It's not realistic for the jars of oil never to run out with it in the story of Elijah. It's not realistic for every miracle of God. The reason that God does miracles is because miracles are things that shouldn't happen. Well, what's the qualifier? Well, God did it for them. There's no reason he would do it for me. But God said, I'm no respecter of persons. Your life choices really don't have anything to do with this. The fact, once we repent, we're right with God. Once we go, look, God, I've sinned and I want to stop sinning. Now, sometimes I don't want to eat the whole bag of potato chips. Sometimes I find myself doing it. Paul wrote 2/3 of the New Testament, said this, the things I want to do, I don't always do, and the very things I don't want to do are what I find myself doing. Paul said, I can jack some stuff up. Trying to do right, I still make bad choices. But we're left with this choice. So how do I put my back to fear? Well, what is fear doing? Fear's whispering in your ear trying to talk to you. What? Man, that look, y'all are just, I brought the wrong two people on stage. So I have to put my back to fear. Have you ever had your kids try to, remember, you can sit down, both of y'all sit down. Just, I'm done with both of you. No, I'm just kidding. Have you ever had your kid try to whisper something? You remember when kids are first learning how to whisper? Like this. Hey, Dad. Hey, Mom. Hey, I gotta tell you a secret. And you've like that hot, right? Yeah, the hot spit in your ear. Okay, have you ever had a kid try to whisper in your ear while you're trying to talk to your spouse? Oh, yeah, every mom in here is like making the same expression. I remember those days. Some of you are like, my kid's 15 and still does it. What do you do? If you're like us, I would look at my kid and say, you're going to have to be quiet. I'm talking to your mom. And as you become a parent for a little while, you learn that your kid can talk and you don't have to hear any of it. If you're a mom or a dad, can you just bear witness to what I'm telling right now? You can, your kid can be talking and you're going, did you hear what I said? No, not a word of it. So you've admitted that you have the ability for somebody to whisper something in your ear, but you not listen to it. You've admitted that you have the self-control to be able to have something whispering like fear in your ear, but pay it no mind. Because if you can ignore your kid who is annoying, oh, can I get a witness? We are all annoying at some point in time. If you have the ability to block that out and hear other things going on, my wife can come in and talk during a football game, and I know there's sound going on, but until I turn away and look at her, probably not hearing a word you're saying. Please don't, if you're married, don't ever make that sound effect. If you make the womp-womp sound effect and you're here with somebody, you are leaving alone. Without lunch. Here's the thing. The word says that when we turn away, when we turn towards God, then we have to begin to worship God. Worship takes a lot of different things. When I'm fighting fear, a lot of times I will have worship music playing because I want some background stuff because it kind of gets the spittle thing out of my ear. The second thing is I talk out loud to me and to God. God says, put me in remembrance of my word. Is that because God forgot what he promised you? No, that's so you'll remember it. You believe 80% of what you say. Do you know that most liars will begin to believe their lie if they tell it long enough because they hear what they say over and over and over again? Well, what if you just sat and really told yourself the truth? This is going to be okay. This is not that big a deal because I can do all things through Jesus who gives me strength. I can do whatever, whenever God called me to because I have the ability to, because God wouldn't put it here if I couldn't whip it. Now, here's the thing. As you begin to magnify the Lord, we use that term a lot in church. It says to magnify the Lord. The word magnification means to make bigger. God can't get any bigger, but he can get bigger in your life. A germ is the same size, but when you magnify it, it becomes that big to you. So what do? Man, when those thoughts start coming in, I begin to focus on what God said. Well, if it has to do with your marriage, you know what? It's not good that man's alone. These two should be joined together. Begin to talk about all the good things that God says about marriage. Man, I'm worried about my kid, but you know what? God didn't give me a kid. Before my kid was mine, he was God's. So God, if you gave him to me, you're going to take care of him. Amen. Don't mean let your kid run off a fool, because the balance of that is spare a rod and spoil a child. Discipline is of God. Discipline inside of marriage is of God. Discipline in your finances is of God. Discipline in your household and in your job. Showing up on time. Taking only the right amount of time for lunch. Not bringing school supplies home from your corporate office. Right? Discipline. I have people all the time come up and go, oh, we're doing that project at church? I can get it from work. My second question always, does your work know about it? I got you 500 pens. Does your boss know you took 500 pens? No, we'll take your 500 pens back to the office and ask for them. That ain't got nothing to do with my message, but that's good. As you begin to face towards God, you have to begin to talk to and about God. You can take anything that you fear. Lord, I'm afraid of heights, but you know what? I remember Jesus in the garden. Lucifer said, jump off and God will catch you. He'll put angels charge around about you. You know what, God? I know this, that if I go up on this ladder, you've got angels around me. I'm not going to fall. Lord, I know this. You said that you would never see your righteous forsaken or your children begging for bread. That if I give, you're going to take care of me financially. I know this. I know that if this person's called to be my spouse, if you send them to me, then Lord, you're going to make them what they need to be for me, and you're going to make me what I need to be for them. Amen. See, what you have to do is you got to talk back to you argue with everybody else but fear. When was the last time you argued with fear for God instead of arguing with God about fear? Do you see the difference? A lot of times what we'll do is we'll go to God and go, I'm so worried that, and I'm so afraid that, rather than going and going, you know what, God, let's talk to fear for a minute. Fear says this, but you know what you said was this, and I'm not going to listen to fear. Instead of telling God about fear, tell God on fear. Does this make any sense? When my wife gets annoyed with me, she does not pray for me. She prays about me. She tells God on me. She'd be like, big jerk. God, you see he's been a jerk to me, and you said that I was a Proverbs 31 woman. And you're going to have him treat gold like, you're going to have him treat me, which is gold. That's what you said. I didn't say it. You said I was better than that. And old knucklehead over here, you made him out of dirt. You made him dirt. That's what Adam literally means, is red dirt. Dirt, and you made me gold. And you're letting dirt talk to me like dirt. Oh, you better go handle him. Handle him or take him home. She had never prayed the take him home part. I added that in for dramatic effect. That's a good point. Maybe she has, right? Somebody on the front row said, how do you know? And I'm like, in retrospect, well said. And I will be driving down the road all wrapped up in my mad at her. And then the Holy Spirit sits down in the passenger seat and does in 30 seconds what she couldn't do in 30 years. Imagine what he's willing to do with your fear. What if you really gave into what God said and you said, God, this scares me, but I'm not going to walk in fear. Psalms 56, 3 through 4 says this, and basically it's talking about where will you put your confidence. David writes this, he said, what time am I afraid? I will have confidence in and put my trust in and rely on you. By the help of God, I will praise his word, and on God I will lean and rely and confidently put my trust. I will not fear, for what can man who is flesh do to me? Put that in context. David writes and says, what time do I be afraid? And you got to understand, David's got armies all around him. He's getting ready to, I mean, everybody hates David. David screwed his whole life up. He had an affair, then had the ladies he had an affair with. He kind of had her husband killed, and then had an illegitimate child. And then, I mean, like, this is made for TV. David gets up and he says, you know what? What time am I afraid? And I think that's almost rhetorical. David's like, I'm afraid all the time. Everybody wants to kill me. Nobody likes me. I don't even think God likes me. I've been there. And then there's a comma there, and I believe that comma is meant for David to pause. He says this, I will have my confidence and put my trust in the Lord. I'm going to rely on you. Then he goes on and he writes this. He says, by the help of God, because we can't do it on our own. He said, I will praise his word. The word praise means to focus on, meditate, and to lift up. He said, man, I'm going to find out what God said about what I'm worried about, and that's what I'm going to lift up. And then he goes on and he says this. He says, I'm going to put my trust there. And then he makes a second statement, and I think he's talking to himself, because see, sometimes you've got to talk to yourself. He says, what can man do to me that's flesh? See, we spend a lot of time worrying about what's flesh, what's temporary, instead of worrying about God who is eternal. Does this make any sense to you today? As we close, I don't know what you're facing. I mean, you could be facing big stuff. Here's what I know. I know that no matter what you're facing, God is bigger. Part of learning to walk out of faith is retuning your ear. See, some of us have tuned our ear not to hear the voice of God, but to hear the voice of fear. And as you hear fear speak, if you'll turn your back to it. In basketball, they call it blocking it out. I'm not letting you go by me. I'm not letting you talk to me anymore. I don't. You ever tried to talk to a woman who don't want to talk to you? No man will ever admit that. You know what a woman will do to you? They'll turn their head and then walk right. I mean, and they'll make it dramatic. It'll have a snap and a turn. Sometimes a hand. Sometimes a finger. They're going to make it obvious that they do not want to talk to you. When was the last time we had that approach with fear? I'm not talking to you today. Today I have a belief system that's based on God, not based on what you have to say. It's all going to work out because all things work to the good of those who diligently seek God. So instead of worrying, I'm going to seek the Lord. Instead of worrying, I'm going to go pray, and I'm going to go listen to the word. I'm going to go listen to worship music, and I'm going to go worship the Lord. I'm going to put my focus on God and turn my back to fear. Man, I can't help it. Sure you can. You have self-control. That's what the word says. You can control yourself. You ever watched a kid in Walmart and they're just throwing a temper tantrum? I love some mamas in Walmart. Some of them I'm not so sure about, but I was in there earlier this week, and I had a mama look at this little boy, and he's just showing off. She said, now, boy, you better get a hold of yourself. He kept on another second or two, and she said, boy, you get a hold of you or I will. When it comes to fear, our Father, who loves us and only wants good things for us, is looking at us saying, get a hold of yourself. You can control it. Once you get a control of the emotion, turn your heart, your eyes, and your ears to hear the things that I'm saying. That's how you break free from fear. It's a redirection of your attention. Yeah, but you don't understand. I've been hurt, man. People hurt me in the past. Turn your back on. Turn your back on that hurt and that offense and look to the future. Because in this you'll find freedom. Let's pray. Father, this morning, Lord, I just speak to every person this morning who wrestles with fear. God, who wrestles with the doubt and the insecurity, Father, that the enemy, God, Satan, the devil, comes to whisper in our ear. Father, today I just ask that you give them the strength, God, to turn their back on that voice that whispers in their ear, God, and turn towards the God who loved them and redeemed them and has good things for them, God, and promises them a hope and a future. Father, I feel like I'd be missing it. If there's one person under the sound of my voice, whether you're online or you're listening to this by podcast or you're here in this building, And you say, you know what, Pastor, man, I got stuff going on in my life, and I know that I am not right with God, but today is the day. Today's the day of my salvation. Today I choose to give my life to God. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to call you out. Will you just slip your hand up if that's you? You say, you know what, Pastor, I just thank you. Is there anybody else? You can put your hand down. I promise I'm not going to embarrass one person in here. Is there anybody else? Says, you know what, Pastor, I got to get right with the Lord. Thank you. For those that raised their hand, I'm just going to ask the whole church, if you're listening to this online or you're on our online campus or however you're taking it in, if you're away from God right now or you're one of those people in our sanctuary that raised your hand, I want you to pray this prayer with me. And we believe, according to the word, that a man who believes in his heart and confesses with his mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, he shall be saved. You pray this prayer and we believe, God, with you, that you are turning back to God and that you are right with God. Will you just pray this prayer with me? Father, today I ask you in my life, forgive me of all my sins. Today I commit and give my life to you. You are my God, and I accept you. In Jesus' name, amen. Look at me just for a second. Here's what I believe. And I believe this according to Scripture, that the minute you ask the Lord to forgive you, the Word says he throws your sin as far as from the east is from the west. That's not in a circle like a globe. That's in a straight line. That is called an infinite line. It has no beginning and no end. I believe that God takes your sin and throws it in the sea of forgetfulness according to the book of Revelation and remembers it no more, meaning this, that from this day forward, it doesn't matter what you did in your past, that the Lord says, look, you are a new creature. The old man is dead. There's a new you. Now, the thing of it is now from this point forward will be the Lord growing you into what that new man looks like. That every day, hopefully, we get a little bit more holy. But we understand that we're not always going to make forward progress. One day is one step forward and two steps back. Will somebody be real? Some days it's one step forward and 15 steps back. Sometimes I just get on a slide. It's about getting back up and pursuing the Lord again. And again, and again, and again. Man, we're not perfect in this house. But we love God, and we love each other. If we got those two things, we can work through the rest. You receive this today?
Thank you for tuning in to Thrive Church. We hope today's message touched your life. You can share your testimony with us at amen@thrivealamance.com. If you would like to support this ministry financially, you can do so at thrivealamance.com/give.